Good morning. Today is Monday, the 18th of August. My name is Chris Hudson, and this is the latest risk alert from the Center for Risk Analysis. This is a service for CRA subscribers brought to you every Monday morning at 7 a.m. by the CRA, helping you make better decisions. In this week's risk alert, we begin with General Rudzani Mapwanya's Iran trip, his comments, and the implications thereof for the South African presidency. Next, South Africa will soon launch a fresh trade deal attempt with Washington. We then examine the latest unemployment data. Thereafter, the national dialogue makes an inauspicious start, and we close with the latest on US inflation and economic data. Before we get into the risk alert, another reminder, I am now back from Washington, D.C. Contact our team to schedule a Washington debrief session. The Chief of the South African National Defence Force, General Rudzani Mapwanya, last week made an unexpected visit to Iran. He reportedly held at least three meetings with high-ranking members of the Iranian military, at which he emphasized that South Africa and Iran shared common goals and called for political and military ties between the two countries to be strengthened. He said that his visit carried a quote-unquote political message and added that it came, quote, at the best possible time to express our heartfelt sentiments to the peace-loving people of Iran, end quote. The general's visit undermines Pretoria's efforts to mend ties with Washington and secure a trade deal. The US considers Iran a hostile power and a leading state sponsor of terrorism. The general's visit reinforces the impression that South Africa considers itself to be closely aligned with Iran, contradicting the government's stated non-alignment policy. Within 24 hours, South Africa's international relations and defense departments distanced the government from the general's comments and clarified that only the president and the international relations department set foreign policy. However, the Minister of Defense, Angie Motshekga, who approved the trip, defended the general. The presidency said that President Ramaphosa, who is commander-in-chief of the SANDF, neither knew of nor sanctioned the general's visit. If true, the president will have to act swiftly and decisively against the defense minister and the military chief. Otherwise, he will have shown himself not to be in charge of the country's foreign relations or the armed forces. News of General Mapwanya's excursion coincided with an announcement from Deputy President Paul Mashatile on Thursday that South Africa would be sending a new delegation to the US to work on solving trade issues. The initiative will reportedly be headed by the Trade Minister, Parks Tau, and the Finance Minister, Enoch Godongwana. The current Trump tariffs represent an urgent threat to the export-dependent sectors of the South African economy, particularly the automotive and agricultural sectors, with tens of thousands of jobs potentially on the line. But with South Africa showing no movement on the core issues raised by the US, and now with a renewed focus on South Africa's relationship with Iran, the prospects are low that the latest delegation will achieve much. Last week, the US State Department released its 2024 country reports on human rights practices. The report on South Africa said that the human rights situation had worsened significantly, citing the passing of the Expropriation Act, abuses against racial minorities, and arbitrary or unlawful killings as examples. South Africa's International Relations Department said the report was inaccurate and deeply flawed, and that it failed to reflect reality. This serves as a further point of disagreement between Pretoria and Washington, signaling an ongoing deterioration of the relationship. Mr. Ramaphosa described the South African economy as being in a quote-unquote state of emergency 2 weeks ago. The latest unemployment figures bear out this assessment. The official unemployment rate for South Africans aged 15 to 64 rose by 0.3 points in the second quarter to 33.2%. For reference, the rate stood at 26.5% in the same period of 2005 and at 25% in 2015. Unemployment on the expanded definition, which includes discouraged job seekers, rose to 42.9%. Of the 8.4 million South Africans who are unemployed, 6.4 million, or 76.6%, are considered long-term unemployed, having been without work for more than 12 months. South Africa has the highest unemployment rate among the BRICS countries. In the fourth quarter of 2024, South Africa's unemployment rate was at 31.9%, significantly higher than Brazil's 6.2%, Russia's 2.3%, India's 6.5%, and China's 5.1%. Other developing countries, such as Vietnam and Mexico, also have considerably lower rates, at 2.2% and 2.8% respectively. Many developed nations have similarly low rates, like Poland at 2.7% and Germany at 3.4%, for example. South Africa's high rate of youth unemployment is especially worrisome, with 46.1% of people aged 15 to 34 years and 62.4% of those aged 15 to 24 years unable to find work. The ANC-led government is doubling down on policies such as the national minimum wage, employment equity, and BEE, which are significant contributors to South Africa's low economic growth and high joblessness. Such laws increase business uncertainty, reduce the willingness to hire, and force more people into unemployment. With no positive adjustments to these policies, the probability is low that growth will rise or unemployment will drop. The Government of National Unity set its measures of success, such as improving the growth rate and lowering the unemployment rate. Thus far, it has fallen well short on both. The government-led national dialogue kicked off on Friday with an opening convention. As expected, the event has provided South Africans with a prominent platform to identify the ANC as quote-unquote accused number one when it comes to South Africa's lack of development. Critics were quick to point out that nobody was better suited to answering some of the questions posed by Ramaphosa in his opening address, such as, why do clinics run out of medicine and why do taps run out of water, than the ANC itself. Conceptually, the national dialogue places the ANC in a dilemma. If it allows it to unfold undirected, it risks placing itself in the crosshairs and stoking even greater disgruntlement and voter rejection. Conversely, if it stage manages the process, both the dialogue and the ANC lose legitimacy and credibility. If it does neither, the entire process threatens to dissolve into a shambles. The first 2 days of the month-long National Dialogue Initiative point towards the third outcome. Delegates who attended the meeting objected to being spoken down to, demanded more talking time, and effectively criticized the process for being a monologue presenting itself as a dialogue. The so-called legacy foundations, which strongly supported the national dialogue initially, have withdrawn from the early phases of the process and were reportedly considering meeting on the 20th of August to discuss ways to start a separate national dialogue. The national dialogue is shaping up to be a costly, unproductive exercise in which Mr. Ramaphosa and his ANC colleagues will have to face angry, frustrated South Africans voicing their long-running unhappiness with South Africa's direction of travel. The latest US inflation data for July of 2025 shows mixed signals amid ongoing tariff pressures. The consumer price index rose 0.2% monthly and 2.7% annually, slightly below the expected 2.8% yearly increase. Core CPI, which excludes food and energy, increased 0.3% monthly and 3.1% annually, aligning with forecasts, but marking the fastest core pace in 5 months. Meanwhile, the producer price index surged 0.9% monthly, far exceeding the anticipated 0.2% and 3.3% yearly, the largest monthly jump since June of 2022. Core PPI also rose 0.9% against a 0.3% expectation, signaling upstream cost pressures. July's actual readings were cooler than feared for CPI but hotter for PPI, suggesting businesses are absorbing some costs while others filter through. This has tempered Federal Reserve rate cut expectations, with markets now pricing in 1 to 2 cuts for 2025. The Fed holding rates at 4.25% to 4.5% remains cautious, prioritizing data over tariff-induced volatility, which officials view as potentially temporary one-time shocks. President Trump's tariffs, imposed on nearly 100 countries with rates of up to 50% in some cases, are linked to these developments. Economists note modest price impact so far, as firms eat costs to avoid passing them to consumers. However, projections warn of rising inflation up to 3.2% to 4% by year-end and slower growth. The OECD slashed its US 2025 GDP forecast to 1.6% from 2.2%, citing tariffs, policy uncertainty, and reduced immigration. That is all from us for this week. We wish you a successful week ahead, and we'll be back with you next week, Monday morning at 7 a.m. sharp, with the latest risk alert.